Thank you so much for being here. If you brought your Bible, please turn with me to Psalms 23. We are wrapping up Psalms 23, the title of the psalm and the title of the series. So Psalms 23, we're wrapping it up today, covering one verse. But as we've said, as we've done each week, I want us to read the entire text today. Psalms 23, the sermon title is indeed the God's antidote or God's prescription for fearing the future. There's a lot of people who are terrified of the future. What does the future hold? What's going to happen? Elections coming up, and all kinds of nerves are on edge about a lot of different things. But you know what? We have a great physician and a great caretaker and a great protector that can help us through all of that. But we're going to unpack several principles today in looking at that. Look at me, Psalms 23. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. God, as we unpack your word today, as we study your scriptures today, as we dive into this text today and cross-reference through your word today, I pray that it becomes alive to us today. I pray, Father, that it changes our life as only it can. God, we came in one way. I pray, Lord, that we walk away from this place completely different than when we came. We thank you, Father, for our day today. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you today. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the life of this great strategic church to reach this community. God, we thank you that you've placed us here and left us here all these years. And Father, I pray that we will be faithful to the call here. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you are about to do in this place today. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church does say, amen. Amen. A lot of people spend a lot of their time and their lives worrying about tomorrow. They worry about tomorrow. They never truly enjoy today because they're worrying about something that they have no control over. Now, how many of y'all, let's get honest in this room, how many have been that way? You have worried about something that you have absolutely no control over. I have no control over tomorrow. I have no control over most of today. But I've been given this moment today to serve him, and today this moment to worship him. But I have no control about tomorrow. I have no idea who's going to win the national championship in college football. I have no idea. I have some that I don't want to win the national championship for the 1900th time, because they wear me out over that stuff. But that we don't have any idea what tomorrow holds. We have no idea who's going to become the next president of the United States. We got a couple of candidates that are out there running, but we have no idea. But we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because God is on the throne and he's still watching over us. So we need not worry about the future. No, David had no anxiety whatsoever. No fear of the future, worrying about tomorrow. He's confident because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, is what he said. How can I have confidence in tomorrow of something I don't have any idea what's going to happen? I can face the future confidently. Three things for us to consider today. Number one, because God is indeed watching over me. God is watching over me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, or will follow me, all the days of my life. Now, when we look at that passage, God is so good, I can expect his protection and his provision. I can expect that. Why? Because he's a gracious and loving and merciful God. I can expect no matter what happens to me, God will bring good out of it somehow. He is always going to bring good out of something no matter what. For his children, he may have a discipline moment in our lives, but there's always something good for my own good that comes out of it. For the good of others and for the good of the kingdom, God is a good and gracious and loving God. Psalms 145, God cares about the details of our life. Like the Father, he will provide for the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We know who is in control of the future. I love what Francis Chan uses, the illustration of the rope, talking about salvation and talking about spending eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses a big, long piece of rope in his teaching. And Chan, using that illustration, paints about a 3 to 4 inch piece of that rope at the end in red. The rest of it's left unpainted. He says, this red represents your life here on earth. This represents the Christ follower that lives for all of eternity. Folks, let me tell you something. 60, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years on this planet is nothing in comparison to the God who watches over us. He is in complete control. He will provide for the future. We don't know what the future holds, but he holds the future. We know God is in total control. God loves us and wants to help us on this side of glory as much as allowing us to share in all of eternity with him. Surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. What does that absolutely mean? Obviously, David had disappointments in life, did he not? He had situations going on in his life. Bad things happen to good people. We know that. He is saying that things will follow even when we go through the darkest and the deepest valleys of life. Good things are to come. If you'll back up two verses, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I told you a couple of weeks back that that valley, there is a real valley of the shadow of death in Israel. It has steep walls, and those walls are so steep that there's only sunlight at one time during the day that reaches the bottom of that valley, and that is at high noon. And folks, when you're walking through the valleys, the deepest, darkest valleys of life, that we should not worry about that because God is with us. That's what David was writing. Even though we go through the deepest and darkest valleys, there's a good things to come. That's why that valley is an open end. It has a both ending, has an opening on both ends. So you can walking the key word through. It says not going to walk in there and stay. It's that I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death because God is watching over me. All evil will be overcome because God is watching over all of his children. Good will follow. That's what Romans 8:28 says. Romans 8:28, and I printed the Living Translation version because I just want you to listen to the narrative of the Living Translation. I don't really preach from that, but listen to what it says. We know that God happened, we know that all that happens to us is working for our good. If we love God and we are fitting into his plans. The New American Standard says God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, sometimes we have to go through the difficulties of time so he can shore us up. He can sharpen us up. Job 23:10, Job says, when I'm tried and purified, I shall turn forth, say it with me, as gold. So we got to go through some of the fires, but God is watching over us. Why? Why in the world was Paul left in prison? Well, I think one of the reasons was because he did his best writing when he was still. About 2/3 of the New Testament that we studied today was written by the Apostle Paul, and many of those letters were written while he was incarcerated. God was watching over him, illuminating the Holy Spirit in Apostle Paul's life while he penned some of the greatest writings we'll ever study in our entire lives, written by the Apostle Paul. Well, he wrote all of that for us. Goodness came from that. God says, I'm watching over you. Psalms 91, verse 11, God orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. Now, I know there's a lot of things, there's a lot of questions about angels. There's a lot of people question that angel thing. You know, do they really exist? Well, I there's been times in my own personal life that I thought, well, I'm sure they do, but I've not seen one fly by lately. You know, not one's landed near me. I don't think that I've had one encounter. Several years ago, I was reminded of this last night by watching my son and his fiance open up some wedding gifts. They're about to be married in October, and they're having an early wedding shower last night because Taylor was involved in possibly getting a new job, and she would have been away for about 10 weeks during the summer, and so they wanted to get some of these out of the way before the wedding happens. And so I had to go to the wedding, one of the wedding, it was a couple's wedding shower. Who came up with the idea of couples' wedding showers? I want to know who that person is, Dean. We're going to have words with that brother. I'm telling you. That should never happen. Couples' wedding shower. That is for the women. The men ought to be doing something fun, like playing golf or something like that. Amen? So I was sitting at that, and I was sitting there watching my son, and it reminded me of the story when my son and I, he was young, we were in a break off the road, and he and I decided to go play golf. He was a little bitty guy and playing golf, loved it. And he started early playing. So I took him, we're going to go play golf that day. And while we did that, I was taking some stuff to the laundry to have laundry. I was going to be on the road preaching the next week and have some shirts done, whatever. And so I was dropping off some stuff at the laundry. And so I turned on the two-lane road, and I turned in front of a hill. We turned in front of the hill, and topping the hill was a pickup truck and broadsided Seth and I in the car. Pinned my son underneath the front seat of the car. If he hit in the back door, Seth would not be here today. But it pinned that little guy up underneath there, and it destroyed our car and his car as well. And so there we were, and the car was spewing, and I was trying to desperately get the seatbelt out, and he was just sitting there, and he had cut face where the glass came in on our son, and I was terrified that our little boy was hurt bad. And I mean, he wasn't saying anything, and the seatbelt was strapped down on him, and I undid the seatbelt, and finally he came to, and he started crying, and he said, I can't move my feet, I can't move my legs. And I said, oh my goodness, Lord. And I began to panic, as any parent would when their children are hurt like that. And so immediately there was a fire station about a block and a half away. The firemen got there, and the jaws of life, they come tearing the car open, and I wouldn't get out of the back seat. They kept yanking me. I kept saying, I'm not leaving him until we get him undone. They said, sir, you've got to move out of the way. And about that time, Lewis, a lady, and this was in July in Alabama. It's kind of cool in July of Alabama, right? No, it's hot in July of Alabama. This lady walks up behind me and puts both hands on my shoulder, and she's in a white sweatsuit. A white sweatsuit. And she puts her hands on my shoulder, Ben, and she says, Pastor, you need to let these guys do their job. God's got this. He's okay. I turned around and I didn't see her again. She was gone. Now, I'm not kidding you guys. I'm telling you, this is the gospel. And so I get out and I say, well, she was a big girl. I'm not going to fight this girl. In a sweatsuit in July, she's probably been working out or something. And so I'm standing over there watching them get set out. They finally get, and they call my wife. She comes running down in her car down there. And so all of a sudden, all the, you know, the commotion of getting set, Deb gets in the ambulance, goes to the children's hospital. Seth's fine. He has this little scratch on his face, and he's a little bit bruised up and more terrified, and he was getting all the ice cream he wanted to eat and all that kind of stuff. Everything was fine, so we take him to Children's Hospital. And so while I finally arrive at Children's Hospital, I said to Deb, you won't believe, man, this lady in a white sweatsuit, he said, did she get you too? I said, what are you talking about? She said, when I came running, I was coming straight, and she stopped me about 20 yards from the car and said, everything is fine. God has got this. Debbie, relax. God is watching over you. Now, Ben, I'm going to tell you, that's the only time I've ever had that kind of encounter. I said, Debbie, here's what she did to me. She reached in the back seat and yanked me out of the back seat of that car. The paramedics, the firemen, the police officers couldn't get me out, but that lady got me out of there. She said, Dan, I don't believe it's a lady. I said, who do you think it was? She said, I believe it was an angel. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not mystical or anything, but I'm just telling you, I truly believe we had an angelic encounter that day. Because God needed to remind me to remind you that God is watching over us and he sends his angels to protect us, the New Testament church, and us personally. That's exactly what David is saying. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house. As a declaration, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, I am certain I can face the future because God is watching over me. Secondly, I know that I can face the future confidently because God's grace is working in me. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I need a lot of grace to work inside my life. Amen? I really do. I mean, when you take off the old suit and tie and get me out from behind the pulpit, you've been around me enough now to know I need a lot of grace to work inside my life. Amen? Because sometimes I'm running 90 miles an hour on a bum leg. It's really about 89 miles an hour now. But about 90 miles an hour on a bum leg. And sometimes I don't have enough grace. So God says, I'm going to infuse more grace into you because God is working his grace in me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, what is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's exactly what it is. It's God enabled to do for us because of Christ. Grace is the fact that God gives to you what you need, not what you deserve. We all deserve punishment, but God gives us grace and he gives us mercy, not what we deserve. He gives it to us. Aren't we glad that God gives us not what we need, but what we don't need? He gives us what we want, and we want grace, and we want mercy, and he supplies that to us. Now, mercy is grace in action. That is exactly what mercy is. It's grace in action. We have mercy because we are imperfect. We stumble, we fall, we blow it, we make mistakes. And we know in the future, we again and again, we'll make mistakes even more. That's that continual grace process of growing us. It is a license. It's not a license to live the way we want to live. There's a lot of people that says, well, I'm under grace. I can live the way we want to live. No, that's not what he's saying here. We can't take liberty with grace. But when we do make a mistake, when we do blow it, when we do fail, when we do stumble as a church, as personal walks with Christ, when we make that mistake, we have that grace and that mercy that comes along beside us. That grace and mercy when we need it the most. When we need his understanding, God gives us that grace and that mercy when we don't deserve it. Listen to what Psalms 103, listen to this. I will not forget the glorious thing God does for me. For he forgives all my sin. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with loving kindness. He fills my life with good things. His merciful and tender toward those who do not deserve it. He is slow to anger. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. For his mercy is great as the height of heaven and of the heavens. And he is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic to those who reverence him. Folks, let me tell you something. God is always coming alongside to pick up us from the mess that we make of our lives. Because God is watching over me. God's grace is working in me. Now, how can we be sure of that? Because God does not lie. He's not a liar. The world will lie to us, but God does not lie. He's perfect in every way. It clearly says, surely. Christians can go through life putting an exclamation point to their life because surely, goodness and mercy, that means it will happen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives. We can relax and trust the Lord. We can trust God with no matter what happens. God's goodness will provide the protection. God's mercy will pardon and forgive. God's goodness will supply all we need. Goodness is the fact that God gives the good things that we need, that we don't deserve, but he graciously gives them to us. You see, you drive cattle, but the shepherd leads sheep. And that's what the good shepherd. When I began the series, I talked to you about the first of the 105 some odd words that make up the 23rd Psalm. Every one of them point back to the first two. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I love what Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says. We can come before the God's throne where we can receive mercy and grace to help us in times of need. Not only because his grace is working in us and because God is watching over us, but thirdly, and finally, because heaven is waiting for us. Now, I don't know about you, but when I just think about that statement, that heaven is waiting for us. I put it personally, heaven is not just waiting for us, heaven is waiting for me. There is a place in heaven waiting for me. As I began to drive over this morning, that drive from Birmingham to Atlanta to down to Fairburn on 20, you know, there's not a lot of cars out that early in the morning. It's just so beautiful. The sun is coming up in the east and it's coming up right in my face and it's just so beautiful. Even the rainy days I've driven over here, it's beautiful. It's just a great drive over, and I'm just bebopping along just over the speed limit, just a little bit over the speed limit. And so I'm tanking up on coffee, and I'm coming over there, and I started thinking about heaven is prepared for me. And I started thinking about, wonder what heaven's going to be like. What is it going to be like? It took 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. What we enjoy now, driving around on the streets and walk up into the mountain areas, and Ben just got back from vacation. He was at Hilton Head, and he said, it's great, the beautiful beaches and the beautiful water, and it was wonderful, and he was over there, that beautiful bride of his, and they were just having a great time, and man, it's going to the mountains and all this beauty that we walk on in the street and the sands and the gulf, and it's unbelievable what kind of beauty we have at our beck and call. It only took him 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. But he says in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. 2,000 years ago, God said, I'm going to go build heaven for you. And then I'm going to come back for you. So it's taken him 2,000 years to build heaven. Can you imagine how magnificent it's going to be? You see, because heaven is waiting for you and I. Who is he waiting for? He's waiting for the Christ follower. He's not waiting for the unbeliever. He is waiting for the Christ follower, the ones who have said yes to Jesus. And he said, I declare, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout hallelujah. Amen. I mean, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, we know that our body will be destroyed, but when that happens, God will have the house for us. It's not a house made of human hands. It will be a home in heaven that will last forever. How long is forever? I have no idea. It's forever. It's for all of eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 8 says this, we look forward with confidence that our heavenly bodies, we are not afraid, but are quite content to die, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Revelation 21 verse 4, this is what's going, some of the things that's going to happen. He will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, nor not pain at all. All that has gone forever. No more pain. My knees won't hurt anymore. Your joints won't hurt anymore. Your hair will stop falling out. I'm telling you, no more problems. It's over with. No more crying. He'll wipe them away forever. 1 Peter, oh, I love what he says in this beautiful text. He says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, God has revealed for his children the priceless gift of eternity. It's kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach, change of decay, and God in his mighty power will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you are trusting him. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. We're going to go through times of tough. We're going to go through discouragements. We're going to have people come and join the church. We're going to have people leave. Some of the people that are going to leave, we didn't think they'd ever leave. Some of the people we want to leave, never going to leave. I didn't mean that. We're going to have people come and go. It's going to happen. But you know what? That's a short while because we will spend all of eternity together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, you are only visitors here. Your real home is in heaven. John 10, 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. When somebody says, well, he messed up, he's probably not going to get to heaven. Take them to that verse of scripture because you can't lose what you did not earn. It was a gift, the free gift of salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. Now, I believe there's some people who call themselves Christ followers that are not Christ followers. They're not truly born again. They may have religion without the relationship. We notice that. We see a lot of that happening in the New Testament church, especially in North America, because we become so institutionalized in religious belief. In this country, we got more Baptist churches than Carter's got little liver pills. We could dam up any river in the state of Georgia with the Baptist churches just in this state. But we got a lot of Baptists, not many believers. And folks, let me tell you something. Heaven is for the believer of Jesus Christ. I can face the future confidently because Jesus Christ is all I need. The good shepherd provides, protects, gives us the provisions, the peace, the providence, and the companionship, his presence in paradise for all of eternity. What's heaven going to be like? Man, I can't tell you, but I can't wait to get there. Why? Because I will spend all of eternity worshiping at the feet of the one who died for me. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he puts an exclamation point to these six verses. I will, King James says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Stamps it forever. The question begs today, are you going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Not one of us in this room are guaranteed another second. The end of the day, some of us may meet the Savior. The end of the day may be the last breath we breathe on this planet. Where will the next breath be? Will it be in the presence of the Lord? Some of us in this room, if we drew our last breath before we sang the invitation song, our next breath will be in that glorious heaven. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me ask you the question. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Today is a day of salvation for some of you in this room. I believe beyond a shadow of doubt, even this crowd this size, I believe there's somebody in this room that's never truly invited Christ into their heart. I believe there's some folks in this room today that they have a religious belief, but they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your name may be on the church roll of this church or some other church roll. Your name may be on the Sunday school roll, maybe on the youth ministry roll, maybe written in some documentation of the organized New Testament church, but your name is not written in heaven because you've never truly confessed your sin and truly invited Christ to live in your life, and you live for him, solely surrendered out to his lordship. I believe there's somebody in this room. I have felt it for several weeks that I believe there is a church member in this church that's never truly invited Jesus Christ in their heart. I may be wrong, but I'm not usually wrong because the impression has been on my heart. Couldn't wait to get to this segment of the sermon series, because I believe somebody in this room today is going to say, yes, that's me. You're going to rip away the pride, rip away all the pride. You're going to break down that barrier and say, today, you know, Pastor, for as long as the Lord shall let me live on this planet, I want to live completely for him. Because my name is not on heaven's roll, but I want it on heaven's roll. And I want to live in the house of the Lord forever. So the question begs today, is your name on that roll of that house that he's building in eternity for us? If not, today is the day of salvation for you.